In the 1950s, the Canadian government forced many Inuit people into high Arctic settlement camps. But one man refused to go, no matter how much his children and grandchildren begged. His family was scared of what would happen if he refused to cooperate. In a desperate plan to force his hand, his family abandoned the man in his igloo. They took everything, all the food, the furs, and tools, in the hope that he would have no choice but to join them in their journey to the camp. All they left him with was his two dogs and the clothes on his back. A determined man can win any battle. The man went outside, pulled down his sealskin trousers, and defecated into his hand. And as the feces began to freeze, he shaped it into the form of a blade. Human feces is a noxious substance, but there is more than one way that you can be killed by poop. Today, we're talking shit. What it's made of, what diseases it carries, and the wildest ways humans have used poop as a deadly weapon. That's what you're in for today on Impolite Society.
Oh, I just detest rude, unladylike young ladies.
I hope you don't mind me being a tad rude.
I myself am strange and unusual.
Don't be rude.
That is some weird, wild stuff.
Shocking, isn't it?
It's a scandal, but it's provocative.
Please stop making me blush.
Welcome to Impolite Society. I'm Laura.
And I'm Rachel.
And that's quite the fucking story at the intro, right?
I mean, what? A thousand years, I never would have thought, make my poop into a weapon, you know?
Well, the Inuits, they're used to cold weather, apparently. But this is not a story I made up. Let me finish the story for you. This is a quote. He honed the feces into a frozen blade, which he sharpened with a spray of saliva. With the knife, he killed a dog, one of the two dogs that he had, using its rib cage as a sled and its hide to harness the other dog. He disappeared into the wilderness.
But what did he prove with that? I don't know. Just go chill with your family. I mean, okay, I won't say just go chill with your family because it's a tragedy.
In its settlement camp.
Yes, that's not okay. But also, like, killing a dog with a poop knife, that's also not great.
It doesn't sit right, does it?
No, that poor dog.
So this tale has been told a lot. If you look up Inuit
poop knife,
no, just Inuit pee on Google, it'll bring it up. This is like not a deep cut. Like Google knows what you're talking
Inuit
about.
Inuit pee.
Like the letter P.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? It's going to auto-complete.
I thought you meant like the pee was involved. I was like, we missed that part of the story.
We missed the urine. Yeah, you should have used pee instead of saliva. So it's been told a lot. The story has been told a lot, including a TED Talk in 2007.
Hey, if TED did it, it's legit.
And I think it's pretty safe to say that it's bullshit. I mean, using its rib cage as a sled. I mean, come on. That's fucking ridiculous. That's no. But if you really want to know that it's a bullshit story, I read a study where a lab tried to replicate it.
I had that pulled up. Oh, my gosh.
If you want a good laugh, I would definitely recommend that you read it because in the show notes, it's pretty hilarious. It talks about like the diet that they put their subjects on.
If you really want to feel good about your tuition dollars and your taxpayer dollars, like look up a study about shit and making it into a knife.
Your colleague's shit. You take your colleague's shit and freeze it at multiple times and fashion it into a knife.
He just didn't have a knife? Anyway, sorry. That's...
They took the knives.
They took the knives. They literally only left him with his dogs.
And his shit. And so even if that opener, that story didn't end in death by poop, It sure is one hell of a story to kick off this number two episode.
Number two.
I'm sure it's the number two episode that we've done on poop. I know we've done others. So
yeah, we've done Why Can't I Poop on Vacation? And then we've also done How Does Your Body Know the Difference Between a Fart and Poo? Which reminded me. This reminded me of that reading the research that I did see before recording.
Yeah, and so maybe it's the number three episodes, but I thought it was a good pun.
It's
so
a number two in spirit.
Number two.
Laura and I are about to take a number two all over these microphones.
They're expensive. Please don't. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I chose this topic, because I can't escape piss and shit these days. It is ever present in my life between a one-year-old that shits about 5 to 6 times a day and a preschooler who refuses to use the toilet. It's my life. And for some reason, I also decided to make a podcast about it. But here we go. There we are.
You create what you know, right? That's what they say. You write what you know.
You write what you know.
Okay, so this is like an OG in polite society, right? Like poop, what a classic taboo. It is such a primal thing. Just kind of like that instant ooh. Like it's one of the more basic ones. Like chimpanzees will recognize it if you train them to go potty train, right? Then all of a sudden shit becomes a swear word. Throwback to our swearing episode.
And even the dumbest animals don't want anything to do with
it,
right?
I don't know. My dogs, they're pretty dumb, but they will tolerate some shit. But for us God-fearing animals out there, us rational, multi-brain-celled, concave brains, not smooth brains like my dipshit dogs. Poo is an instant uck factor, right? Like if you look at it, you smell it, God forbid touch it. It's just no. There is a reason that don't shit where you eat is a saying.
But poop is more than disgusting. Excrete, which is a fun word that I found. Not excrement. No. Excrete. Excrete? Yeah, excrete. It can be deadly, and not just in the ways you think.
So I wouldn't have thought of any poop as being deadly, but please tell me more.
Because I started this research thinking that I was going to look up some of the diseases that feces can spread.
Of
because
course.
That's how it's deadly in the number one. But
of course, yes. Yeah, sorry, my mind was primed to think poop fastened to weapons.
Poop so knife. That was just...
Poop itself, I'm thinking, probably isn't killing a lot of people. But you're right. The germs inside of it, fair enough.
But then I started thinking, I'm like, what is crap made of? Like, poop is poop. I think it's such a surprise. Poop is made of poop.
Yeah, it is. It's one substance. It is shit.
And I always assume that it was the waste products from your digestive system, the stuff that you can't grind into energy that just gets shitted out. But oh no, folks, hold on to your hats. It is way, way more than that. Turns out your brown toboggans are uniquely you.
Nah.
The composition ratio varies from person to person, from meal to meal, and from day to day. Each one is like a one-of-a-kind shitty snowflake. But in general, each poop contains about 75% water and 25% solid matter. Water is a really important ingredient, keeps things moving through the intestines. Too little water.
Make sure to get your 8 fluid ounces. Wait, 8 cups of 8 fluid ounces? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Drink water. Be regular.
Because too little water on your log flume, that ride slows on down. And too much water, not from too much drinking, but too much water in your stool due to a variety of issues. And whoopsies, flowing a little bit too fast. But water is always in there in some kind of ratio. Usually that's 75-25. And that 25% solid, that is where things get most interesting. So that solid matter contains a variety of things. 30% of those solids are undigested food. This is not just the corn kernels, the things that you can see.
That was the first thing that came to my mind when I saw undigested food. I was like, corn kernels, 100%.
But it's not just that. This is the mucky muck that's left over from all the fibrous foods that you've eaten. So your gastrointestinal system is basically
trash compacted that salad and fruits and vegetables into something that's unrecognizable. It's wringing every calorie that it can from it. And what's left.
I'm like, body, maybe get a few less calories out, please.
Yeah. And what's left is mostly just fiber, but you will see those full-on bits.
Or if it's my dog, the fiber is in fact in a recognizable form of all the trash that she has eaten. He's like paper, foil. You can see it in the yard in little piles once the rain has washed the organic matter away.
Another 30% of that solid matter is dead bacteria. Your gut is full of microorganisms that help your body break down food. And these dead soldiers from the microbiome that is your body, they have to go somewhere. And that somewhere is out the butt. And that one really surprised me. 30%. 30% of those solids.
Seem like a large number.
Yeah.
Okay, so 30% of what a normal person poos, like, that is a massive amount of, like, pure mass.
So it's
30% of 25%.
The 25, yes. Yeah. So, like, if you're going to look
at
the total.
It's still a lot when you consider that those dead cells are invisible to the human eye.
Yeah, totally. So those two together make up half, 60% of those solid matter. And I mean, if you've got a real watery stool, yeah, that's less. But anyway, let's not get into too much. Anyway, so another 10 to 20% of that is fat and cholesterol, unless, of course, you're on Ally, the diet pill that makes you shit pure oil from all the fat that you've
eaten.
It says
no fat. Just going to seal it. The fat's got to go somewhere, you know?
And that is going out
on the log flume.
Yeah.
Becomes a slip and slide.
If you ever want to read some funny reviews, look up the Ally Diet Pill.
Our friends on the review pod, what is that?
They did it.
I don't know. They should.
ReviewParty.com
podcast. If they're listening, we're giving you fucking gold for free.
Okay. The next 10 to 20% of that substance is made up of your body's grab bag of fun. It's all kinds of things that are going to get in there. First, bodily waste products. Why is poop brown?
You know, I never thought about that.
I know. I didn't either until I was doing this research and it came up. Dead cells shed from the mucous membrane of your intestinal tract and pass through your bowel movement. So the lining of the GI tract, it sheds cells as part of its natural turnover process. Just like, you know, your tops of your skin, all that kind of stuff.
Flaking off dandruff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. These cells make their way into the excrement, as do bile pigments called bilirubin and dead leukocytes, which is white blood cells. The brown color of feces is due to the action of the gut biome bacteria on the bilirubin, which is the end product of the breakdown of hemoglobin. So, yeah, it's that the microbes work on the hemoglobin, the dead red blood cells, and make bilirubin.
Okay, that makes sense that broken down red blood cells would be brown. When you said bile pigments, my first thought was like, oh, is my intestine tan? Do I have a tan intestine? Because literally that's the only tan I'm ever going to get in my life.
Is the one inside your colon.
Yes, that special tan that comes out in my poops.
And actually, as I'm rereading it, I'm like, I think that might be wrong. I think I just said that wrong. But you know what? It's fine. Shit is brown. It has something to do with bilirubin and red blood cells. Let's just not think too much about it.
It totally made sense to me.
Got it. Next thing, mucus. So the digestive system makes mucus in your mucous membranes. Turns out it's not just a clever name. That mucus protects the lining of the intestines, helps with the passage of stool, moving things along. Mucus slides along with your mud vein and out it goes.
And mucus, guys, pro tip, can look like worms in your stool, but it could be.
Oh, yeah. They get like stringy.
Yeah, it looks like that. It's mucus. It's not worms, probably.
But get checked just in case. You know, I was thinking about this as I was doing the research, because you can't help it. You know, you think back on your own poos.
Oh, of course. Every poo that's ever.
Go back to the diary, you know, flip through it. And I'm like, I guess it makes sense because when you are ill, your stools are more mucousy, and that makes sense. Like those mucous membranes are like shedding and dying because there's something fucking dying inside of you, like trying to get it out.
Yeah, no, that makes
sense. So it's sloughing different layers in order to pass this shit. Get it out of here.
That explains so much, to be fair.
All right, last one is bacteria and microorganisms. So the feces, they contain bacteria and microorganisms from, again, your gut biome, which some of these are beneficial, the others could be potentially harmful. And if you have even kind of a rudimentary idea about how a human body operates, you can see why poop can be so dangerous and a disease carrier. It's just not corn kernels and mushy salad. It's dead things. Dead things, Mikey. Dead things.
I personally do know the power of poop, the danger power of poop, because in some point in my stellar education career, I did a report on Typhoid Mary. And so I learned all about how Miss Mary O'Malley, I believe, or something along the lines, she wouldn't wash her hands. And so she was getting poop on her hands, getting poop on the food. She was killing everybody, leaving a trail of bodies in her wake.
Classy broad. Classy broad.
They had to lock her in a cabin to get her to stop cooking food for people.
Because she could continually escape. They were like, this is the woman at the previous typhoid outbreak. And that happened like three times. And then
They said, just stop being a cook. And she said, I would rather fucking die. And so they locked her up. Mary Mallon, a true Irish woman, very steadfast in her belief. She was going to make that cherry dessert that was she was known for. I bet it was fucking delicious. Okay, if somebody
it
said,
better be if it's going to kill
this
me.
This is Mary Mallon's famous cherry thing. Would you try it? One bite. Would you try it?
Do I know who that is?
Yeah, I'm saying like if we transported her back from her lone cabin and we said modern day, Mary Mallon's here. Like, I feel like you could probably make a shit ton of money serving her fucking recipe that she was known for.
Dude, business idea. We go to...
Back in time?
Goth. No, we go to like goth or like some sort of alternative festival and do a bakery called Typhoid Mary and then serve her cherry, whatever. I bet that would.
Yeah, but okay, that's a little too on the nose. We'd have to call it Mary Mallon or like Mallon's cherry cobbler or whatever. Well, I believe it was cherry. Let's see. Mary Mallon.
These are the kind of hard hitting questions you have answered on Empire Society. What dessert was Typhoid Mary known for?
Yeah, it was just like, it was one specific dessert that wasn't cooked. And that's why it was killing people, because the cooking didn't kill the typhoid. I would try it, because we have such thing as antibiotics in the modern day.
Yeah.
So I feel like I could lose some water weight.
So, yeah, the poop is made from a bunch of dead crap inside your body. Not only all that from your gut biome, but your own dead cells that have been sloughed off the walls of your intestine, dead blood cells in all colors, mucus, not snot, ass snot. So if you're infected with something, you best believe your poo is also going to be infected with something, the same way your saliva, your snot, any bodily fluid is also infected. And even when you're not infected and perfectly healthy, what lives in your intestines was never meant to see the light of day. It is all well and good tucked away in your insides, quite literally in the bowels of your body. But when it's introduced in places that it's not meant to be, we're getting trouble. Gut bacteria that's helping you break down your food in your large intestine, that's not meant to live in your eyes. You know, it eats things.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, they're living their best life down there. When you bring them to where they aren't accustomed, they wreak havoc. They cause infection, causing diseases. And those diseases, as I know you're asking yourself, I'm not going to go through them all because I bet you can imagine that there are a ton. Here are some of the highlights from our favorite Chipotle outbreaks.
No.
We have Salmonella and E. coli that occurs constantly within fast food restaurants.
On lettuce.
Anywhere that serves fresh vegetables.
Yeah.
They have
don't eat vegetables, like folks.
I know, right? The vegetables have like curvature in them that it's really difficult to wash off properly, especially lettuce and like
so
small greens and that
kind
of thing.
Coming from the workers, or is it from the growth?
It's from the soil. Yeah. It comes from the soil and it just never gets washed off because something happens.
Oh, wow. And is that from like the manure or like the fertilizer that they use?
Mm-hmm. Could be. Could be contaminated groundwater. Could be a ton of different things.
Wow. Vegetables. Hard to not trait. As healthy as one would think.
Yeah.
Put that in your book.
Hepatitis A, that's also fecal oral parasites. Yeah, worms.
One would be so lucky. Sometimes that. I fantasize about a nice tapeworm, you know?
Would be nice.
Just
right?
Kind of eats all your energy and just then eventually dies and you go on your merry way.
I think they might cause some autoimmune disorders, but you know, I'll risk it. Cholera. Love in the time of cholera epidemics. We all have heard about these. This is literally when you shit yourself to death.
Is that kind of like dysentery?
Oh, way worse.
Oh.
Way worse. Yeah.
I don't really know what dysentery is, but cholera is also something that people got on the Oregon Trail.
Yes.
Mm.
Dysentery is like, you know, it's going to be bad, but it's like you have a pretty good chance of making it through. Cholera is way worse.
Like
look it
Zika,
up.
Wasn't that also like pooping, shitting yourself? Throwing up.
The Zika virus?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just remember it affected pregnant women.
Ooh, was it? Okay, maybe it wasn't Zika.
That was the mosquito one. Oh, Ebola.
Ebola. Yes.
Yeah, that would definitely be one, as well as classic typhoid and our old friend dysentery, as you mentioned, both amoebic and bacterial. It's got a lot of different varieties. And we could go through and tell tale after tale about all the times that human shite has started a plague and killed a buttload of people. But what's the fun in that? What I wanted to talk about today are the times we know people have used poop as a weapon, a real weapon with the intent to kill.
So we've known for a long time that poop is dangerous, right? That it's kind of like our animal instincts of like, ew, don't touch
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes.
So we've harnessed
yes.
it.
Some of us have
the
tried.
Power of the BM.
The big shout out to this cleverly titled Vice article that was kind of the source for this next part here. The Brown Death, that made me laugh. And again, linked in the show notes, and they laid all this out for us. All right. The earliest one is from a group called the Scythians. And this was a nomadic warrior people who lived around the 9th century BC and the 4th century AD in eastern Iran. They were known for using poison arrows, which isn't really unique. You know, we've heard about like different tribal cultures using that. But in addition to using snake venom to poison their targets and poison their arrows, they also dipped their arrows in their human baby Ruths.
Oh, God.
And in a pre-antibiotic world, that one little flesh wound, you know, you get it you get on the nips. Shoulder, mm-hmm. it goes through the muscle.
It's
that goes gangrene.
The old
or you get
Komodo dragon approach.
Dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Could you imagine riding into war against these folks? They're like, wait a minute. All these archers, they don't have quivers on their back. Where are they storing their arrows? It's just in their ass cracks. They're like, just got a bunch of arrows back there.
Oh, Jesus.
Two birds, one stone.
And in the Middle Ages, during the bubonic plague, invaders would use catapults to fling plague victim shit, as well as actually just their bodies, over walls and infect the people inside. So humanity hadn't discovered germ theory yet and wouldn't for another 500 years, which is
why so many people died.
Yeah. But they did think that the gases from rotting things that they called miasma,
yes.
that caused sickness.
That's not just a song by the band Ghost. It is also, apparently, gases from rotting things. I just learned that. I knew miasma, but I did not, from the song, I did not know it as what it was.
I always said miasma, so it's miasma?
I don't know. I read it on Reddit. What the fuck do I know? I'm an idiot.
So they didn't know what was causing the sickness, but they knew that stinky was bad. So they kind of got it half right. You know what I mean? They're like, this stinks. This is the stink that's making me sick. No, it's the...
That's why they had the beaks full of
yep.
perfumes.
Mm-hmm. Try to keep it out of their nose, precisely. So, I mean, I was like, I give them a bit of credit. You know what I mean? They didn't know what germs were, but they knew the byproduct was bad.
Well,
you know?
I mean, think about all the things that were like, oh, we know this is bad for us, but we don't know quite why. Like, you know, yeah. social media and all these things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, totally.
Couple hundred, give us 500 years, we'll be like, oh, those idiots living
those
in 2023, they had no idea. They were just like, oh, maybe this makes my brain sad. But, you know, there was all these X, Y, and Z reasons. But I actually, isn't that one of the ways that the Black Plague got into Europe was like some kind of onset as like as a war thing? Or maybe it was a port. I don't quite remember. There was a podcast that I formerly listened to, but then one of the main hosts turned out to be an abuser. So I'm not going to name drop them. But they did a multi-part series on the Black Plague, and they talked about how like one of the first cities in Europe and how it got started there. And I want to think that there was some weaponized.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like that's 100% what this was related to. But even more than that, the Chinese were also doing this. But they took it a step further. It kind of in this same time period, they thought, you know, this is great. Good idea. I like where you're going. I have notes. This is missing something. What does this tactic need? Gunpowder.
Exploding bodies. Exploding yeah. shit.
Exploding shit. So they created trebuchet bombs of human shit that was lobbed at enemies over walls. So it would explode when it hit.
And just splatter shit. So it's like, even if you saw a pile of shit and you said, no, 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 I don't want to go near it. It's like,
boom.
It's like splattering yeah. your face. It's getting in your eyes, in your vulnerable parts.
Mm. Yeah.
That's like fucking ingenious.
It, truly. The humans are amazing.
I just really thank God for clever. The Geneva Convention that put the kibosh on this, right? Like.
On exploding human shit.
Yeah, on, what is it, medical, not medical.
Chemical
yeah.
weapons.
Biological yeah. warfare. Thank God Biological. They put the end to that.
Yeah, uh-huh. That would never happen
COVID
again.
COVID 2019. Just kidding. I'm just trying to bait Laura on that
Who's talking now? I'm going to talk about your fucking don't tread on me. Your tramp
stamp. No, this is just Laura indoctrinating me into the ways of QAnon through her mom.
Oh, Jesus. Come, yeah, through my mom. Should hear those conversations. They're heartbreaking.
Oh.
Okay, next up, punji pits. Do you know what this is, Rachel?
Oh, yes. I know punji pits. I've known them since I was a child. No, I don't know what a punji pit is, Laura. We're guessing it's related to weaponized shit, which is not something I know a lot about.
As I was writing this, I was like, oh, punji. I know what punji pits are. And I don't know how I know this. I think it's just because I've seen the movies and like Austin is... you know, a man's man who watches war movies, because it does show up because you've seen it.
It's a pit and so, full of shit?
It's a pit in the earth, so, and they've got sharp sticks sticking
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like the medieval version, you know, that's got like metal spikes, and then there's the Vietnam version, which was sharpened bamboo. And then you conceal the top or you put in a trap door, and then somebody falls in and they're shish kebabbed on the... steaks or shit kebabbed in this case.
So they smeared shit on top of the spikes?
Precisely.
Because they're like, not only is being speared to death, oh no, no, no. We're going to add insult to injury and give you infections on top of it in case the yeah. spiking doesn't instantly kill you. The disease will, yeah. humans.
So, genius. The article that I read said that punji pits didn't usually kill people. And I'm like, well, first of all, if you fall at a fucking sharp ass stick, right, it's going to kill you. And we had antibiotics in Vietnam, but in a field hospital, you know what I mean? Yeah. That could easily go wrong. I think it had to kill at least a few people. So that's my idea.
Yeah, no kidding.
Next up, prisons. So prisoners, they don't have any real weapons. At least not ones that they don't have to make themselves. So why not one more that they have to make themselves? And so, yeah, they throw it at people.
Just like monkeys.
Yeah. Generally. And they have various delivery systems. They'll put them in milk cartons and then, like, yeah, stick like a small hole, a real small hole at the bottom, and then the pressure like shoots it.
That's so
it
like hilarious. Streams. So like
it's like a super soaker. Yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ. This is yeah. Wow.
And so that doesn't kill people, especially in like a modern prison system, but it gives them a real good reason to brave that shower room, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. Oof. It's almost like you shouldn't put people in a situation where they have nothing to do but devise ways to spray shit on other people.
And then we have a very specific kind of Munchausen by proxy. Are you familiar with Munchausen?
Yeah, that is when Munchausen itself is when I'm going to be sick for attention. But Munchausen by proxy is when I'm going to make somebody else sick so that I can get attention vis-a-vis like a lot of moms and children type situation where it's like I'm going to make my kid sick so that I can get a lot of, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, you're so strong. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And it's not really – in these situations, they didn't really call it Munchausen by proxy, but I'm like – reading through it and I'm like, that's a lot like what it sounds like to me, because I read not one, not two, five separate cases of someone poisoning another person with poop via their IV.
The IV?
Yes, specifically through the IV. So how many other people in the world are sneaking poop into people's food, yeah. You know what I mean, to try to make them sick? But this is directly in medical scenarios into their IV. In 2014, a 65-year-old nurse was charged with first-degree attempted murder when she injected her husband's IV with human feces. No word on if this was her his shit.
That's probably
hers. I mean, you would think.
Well, if he's in the hospital, probably his, right? I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? Could be a third party. Could be, you know, Joe Schmo down the street.
Got off the dark web.
And so she was caught because one of her husband's nurses, he was in the hospital for like a cardiac something. I think like a cardiac surgery, like a bypass or something. And they saw her. They saw her fucking doing it. She was arrested. She was charged. And her husband, ever the gentleman, he stood by her. He said it's completely out of character for her, that she loves him. Aww. And it was just a mental breakdown.
That's a rarity. That's more rare than weaponized poop, honestly.
Yeah, sweet. But, I mean, clearly okay, some mental issues.
Okay, here's the thing. Inject it. How are they, like, they're getting a syringe and they're just putting straight shit? Are they, like, putting it in a spinner and making it look white?
Straight shit.
But wouldn't they notice the brown?
Yes, which is how they get caught. Because they notice there's residue in the IV.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That somehow makes it worse.
They're, like, trying to squeeze it down the IV tube. Like, get it out of this.
At that point, wouldn't it have just been easier to just, like, okay, is your husband conscious? Just, like, lift their eyelid and then, like, rub it underneath it.
But it's got to get in the bloodstream, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought if you eat it, it's good enough.
So this woman, she was sentenced to 4 years probation and weekends in jail for 1 year.
It's like a little spa retreat for the weekend. You know, yeah. I have a one-year-old. Sometimes a weekend in jail doesn't sound that bad. Lights out at 7? Okay. I'll sleep.
I didn't know that weekends only was an option when it comes to jail.
It's like so. Weekends, the time to buy discount furniture and the time to be in jail. Weekends only.
Just something to keep in your back pocket for later.
Yeah, whenever I get arrested, I'll be like, can I just get the weekends only plan? Trust.
If your crime, if no one died and your husband comes to your defense at your trial, maybe you could end up with weekends only jail. All right. Another one. In 2016, a woman in Indiana injected her 15-year-old son's IV with his feces. This poor kid had leukemia. He kept getting blood infections. They could not figure out why. They had to stop his leukemia treatments for 2 months and while they were trying to figure out. And then a security camera caught his mom injecting something into his IV bag. They questioned her, and then she admitted it. She said that she did it so she could get him moved to another floor of the hospital that had better care. And I mean, makes sense.
So right? She's getting him sicker to get to a better floor?
That's what she said. I mean, obviously she's fucking unstable as shit. Yeah. So she got 7 years in prison, 5 years probation, and good. Fucking good.
I mean, I feel like there's something else going on there that maybe she needs some more like care as opposed to being locked up somewhere.
You know, that's a whole nother episode. But yeah, I mean, you deserve something for that, right? I mean, people are complicated.
Yeah, I mean, there's not saying like, oh, let this person have unrestricted access to her 15-year-old leukemia patient's son's IV bag. But at the same time, she's probably been dealing with this shit for 15 years. That's a long time. That's a long time to be dealing
with. A nut job?
Well, just like... working, like, you're in the hospital, right? Dealing with hospitals, dealing with their medical.
Oh, you said, like, if he was had leukemia the whole time. Oh, yeah.
Isn't leukemia a congenital disease? I don't know. Like, isn't it something that you always have? I
don't think so.
I'm not a doctor. It's a blood.
I know it shows up in kids, but it's. I don't think it's necessarily, like, since you were born. Like, it doesn't have to be such a long haul.
Let's just say, having your kid in a life or death situation in a hospital is very stressful. People are not sound. Who knows? People.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, put her in an Inuit hut and she might have been turning her shit into a knife and then we'd be celebrating her for generations.
We'd be singing her praises on fucking TED Talks.
Yeah, she'd be killing dogs and dismembering them. I'm really defending a woman who tried to kill her son, so that's where my life's gotten to. I'm like, but it's hard for her.
I read 3 other cases like this, and the bummer index tipped up way too high, so I bailed. And these were really young kids. So just know it happens. Shit injected into medical IVs happen. People are fucking crazy.
You give people an opportunity, they'll show you how nuts they can be.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like a nut.
At least you're not putting poop into people's IV, I guess. The moral
no,
of the story.
No, sometimes you don't. It's the Almond Joy in Mounds. No, I'm old. Never mind. I'm just thinking about the Halloween candy that's upstairs. Oh, naughty.
No, but like the ones with the coconuts.
Mm. Yeah. So this leads me to a very, very important, very rude question. If you were going to kill someone with your shit, Rachel... how would you do it?
How would I kill someone with my shit?
Okay, while you're thinking about it, I'm going to answer it.
Yep. I don't know what to say. You start. Give me some ideas.
I am going to go the icicle poop knife route. You know, that article says that it wasn't possible, that they've tried it. I feel like if you figure it out, it's kind of going to be the perfect crime, right? It's like the icicle knife situation.
It'll melt, and then they'll be like, yes. There's no knife here, just a pile of shit.
Precisely. It's the perfect crime. The body is going to go to the medical examiner, and they're going to be like, I don't know, this is not shaped like any tool I've ever seen, but it does have a suspicious amount of feces inside the wound.
And there just happens to be a pile of shit right here full of DNA evidence. Wow.
You know, I was thinking about that. I was, does poop have DNA in it? I mean, if it
probably
has, yeah, if it has
the schleffing of your gut biome,
exactly, of your mucous membranes and shit, it probably does. But I think I've looked this up before, and it's not easy. It's not impossible, but it's not easy to get.
Yeah, but
DNA.
Then you get fucking subpoenaed or whatever for your gut biome, and then they stick a, I don't know, Q-tip up your ass. I don't know how people get gut biomes, but they could probably match it because all of our gut biomes are very unique.
They are, but I don't think we're good enough at like sampling them, you know what I mean? Or like identifying them. I know that they're individual. All biological evidence found at crime scenes can be subject to DNA testing. Samples such as feces and vomit can be tested, but may not be routinely accepted by laboratories. So in other words, loophole.
Loophole. Just shit all over your victim. Cover up any hair or spit or skin by just shitting all over it.
And what about urine? Yeah, okay.
Urine's sterile.
I know, I've looked this up before. Urine contains some DNA, but not nearly as much as blood or saliva.
There you go.
In addition, DNA degrades faster in urine, making it difficult to extract and produce reliable test results.
Wow.
So, that's your perfect crime. If you can crack that Inuit mystery.
I think pee is probably a better one. Boom. I think pee is probably, if it breaks down faster and it like melts. So, you just have to form a pee knife.
A piss knife.
Which is not the topic of the episode, but.
Yeah, but I mean, still, it's pretty good. I mean, if you can kill somebody with an icicle, you can definitely kill somebody with a piss knife.
For sure. I mean, that's 101 murder, right? I'm surprised Agatha Christie doesn't have a book about it.
I think she probably does. It was in the drafts.
Agatha Christie has a piss knife book?
Yeah, in the drafts.
In her drafts. Yeah. Well, okay, so if she also if she had that in the draft, she also has my stellar murder plan for poop. And that would be to convince someone that their only sustenance in life would be poop. And then I would take them in and then never poop because I'm a lady and ladies never poop. And then they would starve to death.
So it's like a human centipede situation.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, there's nothing for me to eat. And then they'll starve because I don't poop on the record. No poop. Just kidding. Everybody poops. Really, if I was going to do it, I'd probably time travel back to like 1800s and become a cook and then just not wash my hands. And say, I'd rather be locked up forever than quit my profession of making cherries and ice cream.
Cherries Glacier. Cherries Glace. Is that what it was?
Probably.
Was that what she made?
I don't know. It was
when you
cherries,
said cherries
and ice cream.
That's got to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. And that's how she'd kill families, whole families. So that's my plan. Lord be stabbing
worth
people.
It.
I would.
Worth it.
I just killed innocents.
All right. That is all we've got for you today. A fun, lighthearted, short episode about poop and the people who use it to kill.
So the next time you go to the bathroom, think, should I flush this down or should I take over the world with this?
Just see opportunity. Where other people see shit, you see opportunity, dear listener.
I don't see anything because I bought a house that had a black toilet in it. So honestly, I don't see anything anymore.
I have a white toilet and I have to clean it all the time. It's awful. You know that I see the evidence of my leanings everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know the song that's black socks, they never get dirty. That applies to toilets as well. Black toilets, they never get dirty. The longer you use them, the cleaner they get. And I think that is a great parting thought.
Perfect button on the episode. All right, well, follow us on the socials. Give us a listen.
Make sure to rate and review. I've listened to podcast. I now remember that is what you're supposed to say at the end. And be sure to tell a friend. If you're a curious, science-minded person, you know other people who are like you. So be sure to recommend us. And I think the most important thing, never, ever forget, is stay curious and don't forget to keep marching to the beat of your own drum.
Or farting to the beat of your own drum.
I mean, I can't fart on beat, but that's aspirational. We'll be right back.
pulled down his seal skin trousers and defecated into his hand. And as... it's so fucking stupid. I'm sorry.